Walking Boxes Productions presents a radio drama filled with suspense. This is the man in the black hat here to introduce our story, a chilling adaptation of Kurt Siodmak's novel, Donovan's Brain. It's a story we are certain will leave you in suspense. And now, on with our tale.
As I sit now outside my laboratory door, writing under the heading Experiment 87, this final entry in my casebook, I know these are the last words I shall ever write upon this earth. I neither ask nor expect forgiveness now or hereafter, but for those who seek some explanation, I refer them simply to this casebook. Let them read it carefully from its first entry on that ill-starred day of July the 13th. July 13th, today I obtained a small capuchin monkey from my new friends. The animal trembled with fear when I took it into my laboratory, and when I tried to pet it, it bit me, but I had to make it trust me completely. Fear causes an excess secretion of adrenaline, resulting in an abnormal condition of the bloodstream, which would throw off my observations. So I fed it carefully, and finally the creature voluntarily crept into my arms, uttering little whimperings of content. When it laid its head upon my shoulder, I stabbed it with a surgical lancet. It died instantly.
Well, David, what do you think of it?
Well, it's pretty amazing, all right.
You see what I've done, don't you?
I think so.
Think so? Good Lord, don't you know?
Well, Dad, I'm only a second-year medical
and
student.
And what of that when I was a second-year medical student? Who is it?
It's me, Janet.
Hello, dear.
Patrick, Dr. Schrott is here to see you.
Ah, come in, doctor.
You know our son, David, of course.
Yes, of course. How are you, my boy?
Oh, fine, thanks, doctor.
Well, Patrick, harder as usual, I see. What is it this time?
It's a brain.
What?
A brain, a monkey's brain.
Monkey's brain? You didn't.
What about the brain, Patrick?
I'm trying to see how long I can keep the tissue alive.
Is that it? In that jar?
Mm-hmm. There's considerably more to it than just the jar, though. Do you want to see how it works?
Is it still alive?
In a way, yes. A fairly simple device, actually, a variation on Corelli's mechanical heart. The brain lies in a bath of blood serum, and these rubber arteries are affixed to the vertical internal carotid arteries of the brain. The blood substance is forced through the cycle of fluids to feed the tissue. Over there, I've installed a small rotary pump that forces the blood circulation. Do you see?
But how do you know it's alive?
Very easy to determine. The brain, when functioning, gives off infinite decimal impulses. They can be measured. As a matter of fact, I've hooked the encephalograph to a small amplifying system. The brain impulses can actually be heard. Here, I'll turn it on. Quite effective, isn't it?
Yes, it's effective, and it's wrong, Patrick. Terribly wrong.
I've tried to tell him that.
In heaven's name, what's wrong with it?
Oh, Patrick, you and your mechanistic philosophy.
Yes? Well,
trying to reduce life to a mere matter of chemicals and test tubes. The origin of life is from a higher domain than that, Patrick, and you're profaning it.
Nonsense. Utter nonsense. You can't stop the progress of science. Every discovery of whatever kind is a step forward.
No.
If I can prove the brain can perform certain functions outside of the body, who knows where we may be able to go from there?
Yes. Where would we go from there? It's preposterous.
Well, pardon me, Dr. Schrott, but my father's explained it all to me. If he can keep a brain alive and functioning well, then he has the possibility of unlocking its secrets. They say we only use 10% of our brains. Well, who knows what we might discover and be able to do if we can learn to access any portion of the other 90%.
Well, I can see he's made a disciple out of you.
Patrick, where did you get the brain?
Why, from...
You finally broke down and are taking support now, aren't you? Monkeys to experiment upon, new equipment. Whose pocket are you in now, Patrick?
No one's. To carry forward my experiments, I needed assistance, yes, but I am still my own man.
I don't like this, Patrick. Did you kill the monkey yourself?
This is all beside the point. I thought you'd all rejoice with my success. Look, I have kept a brain alive. The implications go much further than David's told. Not only could my studies lead to groundbreaking discoveries regarding the untapped powers of the brain, but if a brain can be kept alive, why not hearts, lungs? I could save thousands, maybe millions of lives. Well, why, who knows, Sherat? I might even be able to keep your liver alive, but That's probably a bit too ambitious.
Setting all your joking and noble ambitions aside, how do you know that thing in there doesn't feel pain?
Oh, please.
Well, how do you know it isn't writhing in agony?
Brain tissue itself isn't sensitive. You know that. Look, as to feeling, well, here, I'll switch on the encephalograph. Notice the faintness of the amplified alpha waves. Note the comparatively slow rate of pulsation. Now, notice what happens when I tap on the glass jar.
Why, it feels, it thinks.
My dear Sharada, I wouldn't go so far as to say that, but it certainly shows marked reaction to an external stimulus.
I wouldn't have believed it possible.
The trouble with you, Sharada, is that you really don't believe in science.
Have it your own way, Patrick. When you can manufacture love and sympathy and kindness in a test tube, I'll be back.
You're leaving?
Yes. Patrick,
mm-hmm.
Do me a favor. Shut off the pump and let that poor thing in there die.
Let it die? If it were within my power to grant, that little brain would live forever. July 18th. I'm utterly exhausted from lack of sleep, but the events of the past 5 days have been of such tremendous import that I must set them down while every detail is still fresh in my mind. I've had no time to make an entry in this record since that day last week. It seems months ago now with my partial success with the brain of that little monkey. That time, however, it seemed to me I was doomed to disappointment. In spite of all my efforts, the brain of the monkey ceased to live at 12:14 that night. Tired, disheartened, I lay down to sleep on the cot in my laboratory. But at that very moment, fate was contriving an occurrence which now seems destined to have the most profound effect, not only upon my own existence, but perhaps upon that of all mankind. Hello, what is it?
Dad!
Come in, David.
It's Dr. Schrott. There's been an accident or something. He's pretty upset.
All right, I'll come with you.
Patrick, oh, thank heavens.
What's the matter?
Oh, there's been a plane crash in the woods. Only one of them was left alive, and I've brought him this far, but he needs an immediate operation.
Well, you're the county physician.
Oh, Patrick, no, it's multiple fractures of both legs. The arteries are severed. The legs will have to be amputated.
Then you're in no shape to do the job.
Well,
it's not my fault, really. Take him to the city hospital. I'm not going to take the responsibility.
No, it's too far. We'd never get there on time. Oh, Patrick, please, it may mean a man's life.
And your job as the county physician.
Well, I'm not thinking of that, but he's an important man. William H. Donovan.
Donovan? Donovan? The Wall Street Donovan?
Yes, you've got to help Patrick.
What are his chances?
About even, if we hurry.
Well, bring him in.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you.
Better get some things on, David. You may have to help. We'll use the laboratory table. Before you go, put the instruments in the sterilizer and don't forget the Geely saw.
Right. Oh, but...
But what?
Well, I thought the Geely saw was only used for...
For brain surgery? Not always. Hurry. Bring it in from the car.
Okay, Dad.
In here. Careful.
Put him right up on this table, please. Easy with him. Get yourself a gown and gloves, Sharat, right over there. And you won't have time to scrub.
Yes, of course. Thank you. Thank you, Patrick.
Bad, isn't he? Pulse, rapid heart, very faint.
I wasn't sure that we'd even make it here.
David, half cc of adrenaline, 1 to 1,000 intravenous.
Right.
You men can go now.
Is there anything else we can do, Doctor?
No, thank you.
Patrick, don't you think we should...
I'd rather we were alone, if you don't mind, gentlemen.
Good night, then, doctors, and God bless you and your work.
God bless.
Good night, gentlemen. Thank you.
Now, David, if you'll remove the blanket from his legs, that's it. Let's see now.
There. You see? Fortunately, a forest ranger got to him right after the crash and had sense enough to put a tourniquet on each leg, but still, he...
Poor man.
Sure. Well,
what's he saying?
Something like, sure. He said it over and over.
I hadn't realized he was deformed.
It doesn't show as much. In his pictures. Now, Patrick, please, I think we ought to begin.
There's no use in amputating his legs.
No use?
He'll be dead by morning, won't he?
I don't know, but I suppose you're right,
you
Patrick.
Know I'm right.
Oh, but still, we ought to try. We can't refuse to operate just
we
because...
We are going to operate syringe, please, David, the large one.
Here you are, Dad.
Spinal anesthetic. You give it, Dr. Sherratt.
Oh, right, right.
Scalpel, please, David, and the Geely saw.
Geely saw? Oh, Patrick.
Well?
Oh, no. I won't let you.
After your performance tonight?
Oh, but I... Patrick, he's still alive.
Precisely. My mistake with the monkey was that he was dead. I don't intend to make it again. Now come, David, the scalpel.
Patrick, are you out of your mind? You're taking a man's life.
I'm giving him life. Donovan would die anyway. For a while, at least, Donovan's brain will live.
Better hurry. They'll be coming for the body pretty soon.
Go now, David.
I think I will.
David, you understand. Not a word to your mother.
Yes, I understand.
To anyone.
I understand.
Did you put something in the skull cavity so the eyes won't fall in?
Yes, I filled it with cotton, bandaged the whole cranium. It will look like any head injury.
I hope nobody gets any ideas about an autopsy.
Autopsy? You're the coroner. You can stop that. Look, Sherratt, this is a chance that comes once in a lifetime. William Donovan has one of the greatest brains in the world today.
And now you have it. It's madness, Patrick.
Turn on the encephalograph. Simple alpha waves.
Yes, you're no different from the monkeys. You can't take a human brain out of its body and expect it to function, Patrick.
I suppose not. But, Sherratt, did it ever occur to you that the brain might simply be asleep?
Asleep?
Certainly. An operation like that is a severe shock. Tap on the glass.
Good Lord!
Delta waves. It was asleep. You woke it up.
It's actually conscious.
You see? Do you see? There are three of us conducting this experiment now, Sherratt. You, me, and William Horace Donovan.
July 25th, I've moved my bed into the laboratory, but I've scarcely slept in 6 days. There can no longer be any doubt that the brain responds like a sensitive seismograph to vibrations near it, including the sound of my voice. Yet I found no method of communicating with it. I've devised a simplified Morse code consisting of tabs on the glass container, together with voice vibrations. Perhaps I can teach the brain. July 30th. Sherratt has come to stay with me, half out of the feeling that he shares with me of a common guilt, half out of scientific curiosity. I've scarcely seen him. Both Janice and David have been avoiding me, not that I really care. I've been tapping out my code on the side of the brain's container endlessly, day and night, over and over 1,000 times, so a baby could learn it if the brain can learn. I sleep only when the brain itself falls into exhausted slumber. When it awakes, I again resume my tapping. I resume it.
Sherratt, wake up!
Yes, Patrick?
Get up, hurry!
What's the matter?
Is something the matter?
Hurry, I want you to see something.
Patrick, you look like a ghost.
Oh, come on, back to the laboratory. I can't believe it myself. I may be dreaming, delirious.
Well, what's happening?
Come on! Hear that? Listen, the delta waves.
It seems disturbed.
You've got to check my observations for me. If my reasoning is wrong, tell me. I can't be sure of anything anymore.
Yes, of course, Patrick.
Now listen carefully. You know I've been trying to communicate with the brain in code. Now, if I were able to cause a distinctive pattern of the brain's delta waves by specific command or code, if the brain responded with the same pattern of sounds each time I issued the command, it would prove I have succeeded in communicating with the brain, wouldn't it?
Yes, Patrick. I think it would.
I'll prove it now. Listen. Donovan, if you understand, think 3 times the word talk. 3 times. Talk.
Why, it answered. It spoke.
Then I'm right.
It's true. This thing is learning to talk.
July 31st. Sherratt is romanticizing, of course. The delta pattern is so infinitely complex. complex, it would be utterly impossible for to break it down into specific words. Yet, that it understands me, that it's trying to communicate with me, is certain. Sherratt suggests mental telepathy, that I try to make my mind blank, as the mediums call it, while at the same time increasing the energy content in the plasma that feeds the brain, in the hope of stepping up the brain's electrical potential as one would step up the power of a radio station. Well, naturally, telepathy is nonsense, but the feeding theory intrigues me. I shall try it. August 12th. Noticed today, for the first time, two distinct nodules of brain cells on the frontal lobex. Electrical potential has increased to 510 microvolts. I've begun smoking cigars, though I've always hated them for nerves, I expect. August 22nd, nodules still growing. Electrical potential 1,450, but with no observable results. Lately, I've felt a compelling urge to know more of Donovan's life. I've collected every available scrap of information about him, a strange man. Ruthless, actually evil in many ways, but extraordinarily brilliant mind.
Sure, it'll be the test. You agree, of course, sure.
Patrick?
Sure.
Wake up!
What is it?
I finally had to wake you up. You were talking in your sleep.
Talking? What did I say?
Oh, I'm not sure. But your voice was so strange. I'm not sure you sleeping in the laboratory is such a good idea.
Janice, what's the matter?
Oh, well, it's nothing. I was dreaming. That's all. Janice woke me up.
Patrick, let me see your hand.
What do you mean?
The other one.
Well, what about it?
Well, you're not left-handed, are you?
No.
Then why do you have ink on the fingers of your left hand?
Well, I don't know.
Were you writing anything tonight?
No, not writing anything.
You must have been, Patrick. Here it is, right on your desk.
Oh, nonsense. Wait, let me see that.
You've been writing his name, William H. Donovan.
Sherratt, that's not my handwriting. It's... Well, don't you see what this means? The brain has communicated with me.
Oh, no, Patrick, you don't...
Look here. Look at this magazine article. A reproduction of his signature. And he was left-handed, too. It says so here. Oh, my God.
It's exactly the same.
Look at this picture, smoking a cigar with his left hand. I'd wondered why I'd suddenly started smoking cigars. The same brand, too. Janice, try to remember what you heard me saying before you woke me tonight. Think.
Patrick,
Janice, think.
All I heard was something like, sure.
Sure, of course. Don't you remember, Sherratt? He said it that night. It was the only thing we ever heard him say. An expression of his, it tells about it in one of the articles.
It wasn't your voice, Patrick.
You see, the brain has grown, and it's strong enough to not only influence the higher functions of the frontal lobe, but the speech centers, the motor centers of another brain.
Patrick, if this is true, then your experiment has been successful.
Yes.
And it's ended.
Ended? It's only begun.
Patrick!
Well, don't you see what this means?
Patrick, listen to me.
What, Janice? What?
You've got to stop.
Stop?
I can't stand it any longer. Can't you see where it's led you? When you cut yourself off from your family, when you neglected your health, began having fits of temper and the like... Like someone I hardly recognize as the man I married. All that I've tried to understand. But don't you see what you've done? You're a murderer, Patrick. A murderer.
Janice, darling!
David told me the whole thing. The poor boy is half insane from worry.
Insane? What do you mean by that?
What I said! You killed Donovan. Maybe he wouldn't have lived anyway. But you killed him. And now this thing has gained such power over your mind that it can make you do things you don't even know about. For all you know, it could make you do anything. Anything! You've got to choose, Patrick.
Janice, please. I suppose you're right, but I'm utterly, utterly exhausted. I can't even think anymore.
You've got to think.
Give me till tomorrow. Let me sleep, and then tomorrow I'll do something. I promise you.
All right, Patrick. But if you don't do something, if you don't destroy that thing, I will.
Listen. the brain. It's almost as though it heard you and were raging at you.
A psychiatric clinic?
I told you I would do something, and I've got an idea.
You're having yourself psychoanalyzed?
Something like that. I'll tell you about it later. First, I want to talk to the doctor alone, if you don't mind.
Oh, well, how do you do, Dr. Corey?
Yeah? How do you do?
I've heard something of your work.
Yes.
This is Mrs. Corey?
Oh,
yeah?
Yes, of course. Excuse me. This is...
I am most happy to meet you, Mrs. Corey.
Thank you, Doctor.
Won't you come into my office, please, Doctor?
Janice, darling, please, dear, would you mind waiting here in the reception room? I'll be out in just a moment.
Oh, certainly, dear.
In here, please. Well, Doctor, she seems quite normal. I'd expected from what you told me on the telephones...
I know, but I can assure you, I can give you my word that as much as I hate to say this, Doctor, she is quite insane.
I see.
Paranoia. She's always been kind of jealous of my work.
Yeah.
But lately she's developed... she has a delusion, Doctor. She thinks I've created some kind of monster in my laboratory that controls my mind and my actions. I'm putting her... completely in your hands.
Well, of course, I've heard of such cases. It is a little unusual, but since you yourself are a medical man, you definitely wish to commit her, then?
Yes, you have the papers.
Here they are. Just your signature right here will be enough.
There you are. You'll let me know about it, won't you?
Well, goodbye then, Dr. Corey. We'll do everything that we can.
Thank you.
Patrick!
Mrs. Corey, you'll be staying here with us.
What? Patrick, come back!
No, it's all right, Mrs. Corey. Just come inside with me, please.
Patrick, where are you going? Let me go! Let me go! Patrick!
Dr. Corey. Dr. Corey.
Yes?
About the bill. How do you wish it to be handled?
The bill? Sure, I'll take care of the bill by the week.
Very good, then. Good day to you.
The checks will be signed, William H. Donovan. Sure.
August 20th. It's nearly 3 weeks now since Janice went away. I cannot understand how she could have left me just when I needed her most. When I try to question Sherrod or David about her, they only look at me strangely and change the subject. Clearly, they too are in on this conspiracy. Sometimes it seems to me the only person I can trust is Donovan the Brain. He communicates with me now more freely each day. I know it has some plan in mind for me, for both of us. I'm waiting. Donovan, I'm listening, Donovan. Don't be angry, Donovan. I'm trying to understand. I'm listening, Donovan. I'm listening. I'm there. Sure.